2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul's writing. And we now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not ourselves. What he's saying is we are the fragile clay jars. I don't know about you, but even as a man, life feels fragile at times. There's a lot of things going on in our country, a lot of things happening in our lives. Am I right? And we all feel like maybe we're just a couple decisions away from breaking at times as well. Verse 8, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. The Apostle Paul is communicating life doesn't have straight lines. Life has all kinds of twists and turns. But in the midst of it all, we have these things that happen in us here. And he says that we're pressed on every side. Have you felt like this lately? Am I the only one? That sometimes like every side feels like it's coming in. Financially, relationally. Work, you name it. It happens, am I right? And this word pressed here is really interesting. It's a word pressed, but it means like it's squeezing in. It's a narrow way. It's when circumstances rub us the wrong way. Does anybody hear some circumstances that are rubbing you the wrong way? The easier question would be like, who doesn't? That'd be the easier question. Who doesn't? Everything's going great in your life? And what the Apostle Paul's saying here, in this moment, I'm pressed and I feel like I'm in a narrow place. And even though I'm in a narrow place, he says, but I am not crushed. And crushed means to press upon. It means to like be restrained. It means you're in a narrow place and you can't get out. See, the one is just a narrow place that you're walking through. And another is you're completely restrained. You're completely confined. You can't get through. You're being kept in a closed place. And there are people in the room right now. And there are people who you know at work. There's family, friends, neighbors that feel like they're being completely kept in a confined place. You feel locked up. That's what being crushed is. And we use this word all the time. We use this word like, oh yeah, like at work, we were getting crushed last night, which means a couple extra people came in to work or something. Or like your favorite team, they got crushed last night. It doesn't compare to this. When you're completely confined and you're completely trapped and you're being completely, you can't get out. That's what crushed is. And life at times feels crushing. It does. It feels like I can't get out. And so for all of those here that have ever been truly feel like you're crushed. Or you know somebody who is, this one's for you. As a matter of fact, not just this one, the whole month is for you. Because this is all about how God does a great work in the midst of everything we go through here. So the Apostle Paul, he's going on here, I am pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, but I am not crushed, not in despair, not forsaken, not destroyed. And so he's saying, like, wait a minute, I am these things, but I'm not these things. And the enemy wants to convince many people in the room right now that there is no hope, there's no use to give up. If you haven't felt like giving up, you're probably not trying anything new. Because we do, we feel that way at times. But the Apostle Paul saying, yeah, all these things are happening to me, but I am not crushed. I'm not these things here. I'm not going to recommend you do this, but I did it in all the preparation for this week and all the ones coming up. I just sat down and I began to write out all the times, the lowest times of my life that I felt crushed and confined and couldn't get out. I'm not saying to you to do that. I remember years ago, I was having a lot of back problems, had back surgery, and it was supposed to be no problem. I was going to get healed and everything was fine. And I came here to a healing service. You know, I'm the pastor, and you know, so when you're sick, you're supposed to, like, heal thyself. And so I came, and it was a worship time, and I remember I was sitting, like, right here. I think the rows were longer then, and I was, like, right in this area. And, man, it just hurt so bad. I couldn't even raise my hands. Like, I couldn't even, like, lift up, you know. It just hurt so bad. And I came perfectly, like, ready to get healed. Did you ever have enough? Did you ever have enough in your life? It's like, I'm ready. And I came perfectly anticipating I was going to get healed. And I came, and I came up for prayer. And I'm like, yeah, this is my moment. And they prayed for me. And I felt just a little better, and I was able for the first time in weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, able to, like, to lift my hands and worship God. But my back was still hurting, and I was still in pain, and so I didn't get, like, kind of everything I wanted. Like, I wanted it all. And I go, and I'm kind of frustrated. I'm kind of let down. And I remember in this moment, I just had, like, an impression. That's when I say God spoke to me, I mean just kind of this impression. And I just had this thought, and I believe it was a godly thought, and I felt like God said, I felt like this impression, like, God says, if all I do for you is heal you and you can lift your hands and worship me, is that enough? And I wanted to be holy, and I wanted to say, yeah, but I wasn't. That'd be a lie. Like, I wanted to say, oh, yeah, if I could just worship God, that would be enough. And it wasn't enough. I wanted more. I wanted it all the way. I wanted it, like, I wanted to be able to, I wanted to run out of here. Not walk in the way I came. And I remember, like, I went through this struggle. I went through this struggle of saying, God, I really want it all the way. I don't want to leave here the way I came in. Like, and like we sang that song this morning, I'm not leaving the same. And it's not my physical things that are going to change, but my perspective changes. And I wrestled with God. What I mean is, I was like, God, is this all you got? Is this really, God, all you got for me? Because, quite frankly, I don't think it's enough. And slowly, and it took me a little bit until I got there, and it was enough. Because if I can honor God and worship Him, it is enough. And did my flesh like it? No, but the spirit inside found a new strength and a new connection to God I didn't have before. And slowly but surely, God healed me and God moved and God showed up in different ways, but it never happened the way I wanted it to. Later on, in the midst of all this, I'm just starting to feel better, and I know I'm having problems breathing, and I got a phrenic nerve problem, and my lung stops working right on my right side. I can't even breathe right. It's like, really, God? Is this really it? Now I can lift my hands, but I don't have breath, and I'm going on, and I go, and they said, well, after 1 year of problems, like, the chances of you ever getting better will never happen. And so I went like 6 months and 12 months and 18 months. And I was going back all the time, like expecting and nothing happening. Then all of a sudden I get back and I'm praying, and out of nowhere, wasn't even expecting it. God, I go to the doctor and he says, go back and get your testing. Something's not right. And so I go back down. I get tested again. I come back upstairs. And he goes, and they did it twice downstairs, because even the person doing it said, this isn't right. And what wasn't right is that my lung returned to normal. And they didn't even know what happened. And so I remember the doctor saying, this is just short of a miracle. And I remember saying, two different doctors told me that. I said, what would make it a miracle? I mean, is there a classification? Is there somewhere do you contact UPMC? And this is a miracle. I don't know. I want to know. And because the same doctor that told me there's no hope, this is as good as it's going to get, you're going to have to live like this, said, I knew this would happen. Like, hey, man, that's not what you said. He goes, well, I kind of knew it was going to happen. I'm like, how'd you know? And he didn't know. What I'm trying to tell you is there's times that you feel, and there's times that I feel restrained, but I'm not confined, because I have this hope of glory in my life. I have the hope of Jesus Christ in my life. And so, see, we have this illusion of self-sufficiency. We have an illusion in Christendom, but once we pray the prayer, the prayer, Jesus, come into my heart, make everything perfect, that everything gets perfect and you have no more problems. And then we have an illusion that the more self-sufficient and independent I am, the more holy I am. And I want to tell you the exact opposite is true. The more dependent on God I am, the more holy I am. And it's not self-sufficiency, it's God dependency. And all along, in all of these things, God's driving me to Himself, that I would understand Him in a deeper level, in a deeper way. And this is a game changer that, quite frankly, we in the United States of America don't like. Because we're control freaks. How many of you know that when I said that, you thought of somebody? They might be sitting next to you. Don't look at them. No, we do. We have this sense of I am in control. I need control. And as long as I'm in control, everything's fine. And really, maturity in Christ, God's driving me out of me control and into God control. So in this series, Crushed, if you're looking for an easy way, I don't have it. So here's the big idea. Here's a big idea for you. And is that, what does it mean that God's grace is sufficient for me? This is the question. What does this really mean? Now, typically, in this moment, in our preaching, we give you three neat little points. I don't have three neat little points for you today. I'm not saying I won't some other time. It's just right now I don't have them. It's like, but what does that mean? I don't have three easy, simple, I can't fix you in 35 minutes. I'm not that good. But we can create a culture and an environment, not where we try to get more emotional, because I'm not here to try to make you emotional today. I'm here that we understand God and be driven to His grace, which is not emotional. It's very, very biblical and very objective. In many of your minds right now, you're thinking, no, that's not objective. Yes, the grace of God is very objective. It's very clear. It's very clean. Come on. But to find it, you're going to have to go through something. Like Pastor Eric made reference of it earlier. Like, listen, let me give you, you're going to want to write this down. This is really good. When you're going through hell, don't stop. Many people start going through trials, tribulations, and suffering, and they decide, you know, this is a pretty cool place. I think I'll live here. Nobody says that consciously, but they stop, and they stop their development in Christ because their sufferings create their whole identity, and they stop there rather than keep moving. Keep going. It's just a valley to get to the next mountain here. That's what it is. So, in 2 Corinthians, the whole book of 2 Corinthians, it's written all about the Apostle Paul's sufferings. It's all about his hardships. It's all about his life. I mean, most every chapter, not every chapter, but most of it, if you're looking for like the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to tell you, in my life as a pastor, it has meant the world to me. As a matter of fact, in some of the deepest, darkest times as a pastor, this 2 Corinthians, next, right up there with 2 Timothy, they're equal to me in that they get me through the roughest times. Like, let me give you an example here. Is 85% of the pastors that begin in the ministry don't end up serving in the ministry. As a matter of fact, 85% that begin in the ministry right now in their 20s, they don't even make it 5 years because of the pressure. Because if you want to understand it, read 2 Corinthians. And see, why can I stand here and tell you that, you know, like we're one church, you have four locations, and it's like trying to figure that out. It's like, whoa, okay, how's this work? And you're trying to figure it out. But I'm here to tell you, you can trust Pastor Eric and Rachel because they've gone through affliction and they still trust God. See, you can't trust people until you go through affliction and you come out the other side. It's like you can't trust God until you ask Him for something and He doesn't give it to you and you still call Him good. You there? See, then He really becomes good because it's who He is, not what He does for you. And see, this is what it is to be crushed. It's like I'm seeing who God is, not just what He does for me. And Pastor Eric and Rachel, they continue. And in the ministry, you go through trials and you go through tribulations and you go through letdowns and you go through all these things, but you still trust God. And so I'm here to tell you today, you can trust them. Because God can trust them. You got to hear what I'm saying here. I'm speaking to you on a different level today. And so we wrestle with these things and we go with these things. And so this Corinthians brought me through some really rough times. And so, Pastor Eric and Rachel, you're going to need these. You're going to need these. And we're all going to need them. If you plan on serving God beyond today. How many of you plan on doing this for more than a day? Okay, you're going to need what I got for you here. Because sometimes life doesn't turn out the way you think it will. As a matter of fact, most of the time. Do you live in this world? Yeah, but we can still trust God and find Him. So what does it mean? This is the question. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's the Apostle Paul. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weaknesses. And really, like, that's that those words, my grace is all you need, they should be in red letters. Because they're words of God, they're words of Jesus. So red letters on that. You gotta I want to emphasize that. That's God saying, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. In verse 10, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in the insults, hardships, persecutions, troubles that I suffer in Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong. Okay, are you ready for this here? This is it. This is the Apostle Paul explaining this here. And so in verse 7, go back there. The Apostle Paul receives all these revelations. He just gets out of the third heaven. I mean, he got revelations that he can't even tell us about. They're so deep, and so God's speaking to him. And then he says, I received these, but to keep me from becoming proud, I've got a thorn in my flesh. So this word proud here is self-dependent, being more than what God directs. And so that's what it is. Proud is being more than God's directing you to. It's more than. Like I'm gonna raise myself up here. Yeah. And thorn refers to, and so he says, I got this thorn in my flesh. Now, I'll be honest. Like, if one of the men in the church came to me and they said, oh, I got a splinter. Come on, as a man, you'd be like, suck it up. Suck it out with your teeth or something. Like, get on with your life. Am I right? Now, I don't know what you ladies say to each other, but this is what I would say to the guys. If it was a lady, I'd say, go see my wife. But and we do that until you get a splinter. And then it's like your world stops. Until you get it out, right? And so this thorn, it's a sharp object and it's pointed, but it can be everything from a minor irritation to a tent peg. It refers to both in the Greek here. So it means everything from a little splinter all the way to a tent peg inside of you that irritates you, everything in between. There's irritations that happen. And basically the Apostle Paul was saying, to keep me from getting proud and lifting myself up and promoting myself up to a bigger place, God allowed me to have this irritation. Are you tracking? See, in 1 Peter 5, you got to write that down, 5:5, it says that God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So basically, when we're humble, God raises us up. And when we're arrogant, we raise ourselves up. And so the Apostle Paul, he's doing all this stuff. And so God allows him to have this thorn here. And it's frustrating him. It's like causes trouble here. That's what it does. Now, Paul never gives exactly what that thorn is. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul, he doesn't go around telling everybody, this is exactly my thorn in the flesh. Have I told you lately my thorn in the flesh? Have I told you all about my thorn in the flesh? Have I told you my grace? No, see, we don't... when something's happening to us, we glorify it. It's like whoever has we try to one-up one another in our problems. We do. We're in the United States. We do this. Like, oh, this happened to me. Like my car got totaled. Thank God I'm okay. Oh, yeah, I have had 5 cars totaled. We do. Am I right? Do you live in the same world I do? Come on now. Yeah, we do, because we want to glorify the problem. And the Apostle Paul never glorified the problem. He wanted to glorify God. But he wasn't immune to the problems. And he had relational problems. People were hunting him down. He had financial problems. He had all these things going on here. Yeah, but there was a messenger of Satan that buffeted him, tormented him. That means struck with the knuckles over and over and over and over and over. Have you ever felt like your head's getting beat in? Have you ever felt that way? No matter what it is, you just feel like over and over and over. That's what he's saying. It was like he was just being punched and punched and punched with the knuckles. That's what it is. Over and over and over and over. This is the torment that he was going through here. Pretty serious here. And in verse 8, 3 times I begged the Lord to take it away. If anybody should get their prayers answered, it's Paul. Am I right? I mean, if anybody should have the phone right to the throne, it's him. But he asked and asked and asked, and it was going on and on and on. How about Jesus? 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26, he asked God to take the cup of suffering away, but God doesn't take it away. God allows him to go through it and gives him strength in the midst to go through it. Crushed moments bring a response. You can become bitter and blame. You can give up. You can grit your teeth and say, I'm going to endure till the end. Or by the grace of God, he's doing a great work in me. 4 options. Choose wisely. Though there's the options right there. You can become bitter and blame God. You just give up. We grit our teeth. I'm going to make it. I'm going to endure. I can do this. Let me give you a moment here. God is not confused. We get confused. God's not. Never did I look up in heaven and God's like, oh, I don't know what to do with this one. No, he is dealing with me. I wouldn't blame him for saying that. With this one, but not my situation. He's not confused. We are, but he's not. And he knows what he's doing and he has a plan here. And the Apostle Paul's going through problems and he's going through the situation in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Each time he prayed, God said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. I remember years ago, the elders of our church and our wives were having a nice dinner, had a guest minister in. He was going to minister to us, you know, encourage us, bring life to us in the midst of the ministry. And I'll never forget, we're sitting there, have a nice dinner, and I turned it over to him, Brother David Hawks, and I said, David, here, you. He goes, I was just thinking. And he said, the Bible says that when we're weak, he is strong, and that we should boast in our weaknesses. And I'm like, where's he going with this? And he looks up and he said, I think we're just going to go around the table and everybody's going to share their weaknesses so we can boast about God. I'm like, this is not what we paid for. No, I'm serious. This is what he did. And it was like, who wants to go first? I'm like, what kind of meeting is this? And I'm the one that called the meeting. And I remember we all just sat there in an awkward silence and just looking around. I'm like, okay, I'll go. This should be really easy. I got lots of them. And just shared our weaknesses, and then we talked about God and how he shows up and how he gives us grace. And it was so freeing. But we don't do this in our culture. We don't do this even in Christendom. We don't do this. We don't want to share our weaknesses. We treat church on Sunday morning and we treat small group like it's a job interview that we have to present all of our strengths. Don't we? Come on, we do. We try to convince one another, I'm okay. Follow me. But come on, like even as a pastor, I can't stand up here and just say, man, I am so weak and messed up and screwed up. Well, I do this regularly anyhow, but why not? Because I want to talk about how great God is, not about how great I am. You see how very few of us get to God and his grace because we're hiding behind a facade of who we are, especially as men. Come on, where's the guys at? Come on, I got it all together. I'm good. And no, that's not where we find him at. And there's two messages here. Two messages. Satan has a message. Give up. You're not good enough. It's not working. Come on. It works for everybody else, but not you. That's the message from Satan. The message from God, Jesus, red letters, is my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is more than enough. Which message are you going to listen to? Which message? I'm not going to promise you. Just say, come up here and I'm going to pray a simple prayer over your life and everything's going to be fine. It doesn't work that way. Right? But I find him. I find his grace. I find his strength. I find his leading. And so the devil's speaking to give up. So many people give up right before their breakthrough. Right before they get what they want in Christ. I watch it happen all the time. Right before there's a breakthrough, they give up. And I'm telling you, don't give up. I'm not saying white knuckle it. I'm saying God has a plan. He's not confused. I'm staying with the plan. I'm staying with his purpose. Come on, everybody, I don't care. If as soon as you get married over like 2 months, you doubt whether you married the right person or not. You're all looking holy at me like, no, I don't. Say it. Everybody does. But it's in my brokenness that, no, God has a plan. He's not confused. And he designed marriage for me to be more like Jesus, which means it's a great opportunity to die to myself. You get it now? And so really the problem's never the other person, it's you, because every time there's a conflict, it's God's, it's an invitation to trust in your spouse more. And this, every time we have a conflict with God, it's an invitation to trust him more. That's the grace of God. Is this helping you? Listen, I'm trying to speak to you. See, but we don't think that way. We think, well, there's a conflict with me and God. He's not doing what I want. I prayed the prayer. I went to group. You told me, Pastor Eric and Pastor Rick, that if I just go to a group, you know, I'll have friends. And quite frankly, I don't like the people in my group. And, you know, I'm just tolerating them. And I have more problems now than I used to. I'm helping you right now. I'm freeing you. But you've got to stay with it. It's part of the process. And then you go to 101, Bridge City 101, and you learn, I'm going to become an active and growing part of this church. And then it's like, well, yeah, then they want something from me. I don't want that. No, God gave you something to be used for other people. And sometimes it's his suffering, and sometimes it's his gifting, and it's everything in between. Two messages. Grace of God. What is the grace of God? It's the unmerited favor, the unearned supernatural ability. It's the undeserved blessing of God that empowers us to live for Him. The grace of God is always so that you can. It's never so you don't have to. I'm trying to help you. Whenever you say there's grace of God, what's the grace of God? Don't need to go to the ladies' meeting. That's not grace. No, I'm not saying you should be condemned. I'm just saying that's not grace. Don't call something grace that's not grace. There's a lot of misconceptions about grace and mercy and all these things. And so the grace of God, it's the unmerited favor. It's his blessing. It's his supernatural power. That's what's sufficient. And it's all you need. It wards off. It raises itself as a barrier. It works best, which means the grace of God is leading me. It's rolling me to completion and maturity. Yeah. And this word boast. I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. I'm going to live with my head up high with a God-given confidence that, listen, these weaknesses I have, yeah, I have them, and we all have them, and I have a lot of them. If anybody in here knows my weaknesses more than me, come on, it's my insecurity. It's all these things that want to drive me. But when I expose them, then God can work on them and give me His grace and His power so I can become the man of God He's created me to be. It's His grace, and so I can live with confidence in all these things. And I'm going to boast about all these things. Did you notice here it says, my grace. God says, my grace. His grace, not your strength, is sufficient for you. You got to catch that. Because we don't get it. We don't get it. We say, no, it's me being more independent. That's maturity in Christ. You being more independent is not maturity in Christ. You learning more Greek words is not maturity. You being able to help other people, what you said this morning, Pastor Eric, you go through things and then it's for somebody else's good. Like, why waste it? I'm going through this. It's for you. That's 2 Corinthians 1:6. You can read it later. 2 Corinthians 1:6. So if I'm going through something, it's for you. And this is what it is. That's the grace of God. And the grace of God is Jesus is inviting me into a deeper relationship with Him. And it happens sometimes when I'm out of control. That's where we find His strength. I'm begging you to find His strength. I'm insufficient. I can't do this on my own. Every time I get to that point, like, God, I can't. I ain't got nothing. Every time I look at heaven and I say, God, I ain't got nothing. God says, now you get it. Now you got it. You ain't got nothing. I know God doesn't speak to you in bad language. Ain'ts and stuff, but He speaks to me that way, okay? You know, sometimes He even says yins. I don't know, it just happens. You know, it's like, I ain't got nothing. God says, now you got it. I can't do this. Now you got it. I'm insufficient on my own. Now you got it. Now this is where I meet you here. That's the grace of God. He's revealing Himself to me. You see why most of us get into problems and we bail out, we give up. God works for everybody else, but He doesn't work for me. I mean, we should start selling statues, monuments for everybody here that God doesn't work for. This is the first person God failed. Oh, no, I want a statue too. But that's how we think, and that's not God. He's driving us to Himself. That's the grace of God. It's the unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor and the blessing of God, even in the midst of my stuff. And this is the Apostle Paul. So I'm going to boast about my weakness that God becomes strength. I remember sitting in Forbes Hospital, and our daughter, she was 4 years old at the time, and just she was having a lot of problems, and they were doing a test on her, and we're sitting there. And see, I've been writing these down because I've been seeing God's grace in my life. Every one of these are a story about God's grace. And I remember them calling a cardiac arrest and everybody running in there. And my wife looked at me and she goes, "That's the room that our daughter's in." And I went, "No, it's not." And then all of a sudden I looked up and it was. See, at that moment, you get real close to God. And thank God, I'm not going to glorify that, but God saw her through. And then later on, 11 years after that, she's at a different hospital. And she's having problems after problem, problem after problem. And I'm the pastor, and I'm her dad, and I'm supposed to protect her, and I'm supposed to be the one with faith, and I'm the one that she's going to get healed, and she's not going to have complications. And it was complication after complication after complication after complication. And the same thing happens. I got a phone call from my wife and said they're in there working with her right now. We don't know what happened. She just went out. And all I could say was help. Help God. That's all. See, whenever you can, that's all you got. Help me, God. That's all you need. I don't know. Maybe that sounds coarse or that sounds hard. But I learned so much about trusting God. And through these times, that's what the grace of God is. So what does it mean that God's grace is sufficient? I'm at the end of my dependent, my self-sufficiency, and I'm into God dependency. I'm out of trusting me for everything, and I'm into trusting God for everything. Is that, did you catch those definitions? Is it easy to get there? No, all you got to do is get broken. Three questions I'm going to give you, three questions. These questions help me so much. And everything I've been through over the years and years, I literally sit and answer these questions. I write them out. These will help you. I'm trying to help. You will find the grace of God in the answer to these questions. I literally still sit. Sometimes I'll just sit in a coffee shop or I'll just sit quietly, and I'll just write out the answers to these questions. What's happening to me? This person said this, or financially this happened, or somebody did this, or somebody let me down, or name it. Just write down, this is what happened to me. You say, well, that's really going to help. No, it helps to get words to it. And then I say, this is what's happening in me. I feel mad, I feel angry, I feel rejected, I feel isolated, I feel a lot of ways. But the money question, if you want money, it's in the third one. The third one has money to it. This is the grace question. What is God showing me or teaching me about himself? There's times I answer that question and I'm okay, like, hey, God, you're showing me you're faithful. You're showing me that you can be trusted. See, God's revealing his character, and I go through things so he can reveal and roll over me to completion. Is that helping you? See, I'm trying. He's rolling me forward. Something's going to completion. And there's times I sit with somebody and say, I don't even know what God's teaching me right now. Could you help me? There are times when I was just like, I have no clue. Please tell me what you see. I literally say that to people. Help me. And I write it down so I can have it and I can hold on to it. And I can say, God is doing a work in me. He's revealing himself. That's my best shot for you today. That's my best shot. We're going to create an environment where you can respond to this message right now. I know many people's like, oh, well, the message is over. It's kind of like, oh, check out. Can't check out yet. Mm-mm. We're going to sing a song about in the crushing and about new wine. Wine is referred to as Holy Spirit in the Bible. And God wants us to have a new depth of Holy Spirit, new wine, in our lives.
That's what he's looking for. A new flow, a new anointing. And you're sitting here going, well, life is pretty good. Praise God. Now, I've said it once, I'm going to say it really again. I'm not here to try to get you to respond emotionally, especially to the guys. I want to speak to the guys right now. I am not here to try to get you to feel emotion, like God is here. But what I want to do is acknowledge God, because where he's acknowledged, he is. And we acknowledge him because he's a God who is the beginning and the end. He's a good God. So we're going to sing a song. And sometime within the next 4 to 4.5 minutes, maybe 5 that the song takes, there's communion up here. There's cracker, which represents the body of Christ, and the juice represents his blood. And we're not going to go like, oh, no, really, foul. Come. Remember I said life is messy. We're not going to get like, oh, just come down the middle and God decide. Matter of fact, whenever you want to, you just get out your seat and walk up front. Like whenever you want, you can come up the side. You know what? We're really going to mess things up. You over here, you're allowed to go to that side. We're getting crazy here. We're going for it, man. We're like, you know, you're even allowed to go all the way back and around if you want. You can go whatever way you want. I mean, you could stand on the chairs and climb over them if you want. Well, I don't recommend that, but you can. What I'm trying to say is we're going to spend time and just, God, make this song our prayer. God, in the crushing, you're doing something good. Could you stand to your feet with me today? Come on, just stand to your feet. Lord God, just help me, Father. So, Lord, I just pray for this great group of people, Lord. And God, just let them boast in their weakness. Let them, that your glory and your light would shine through them and in them and on them, Lord. And God, use this moment right here to create a moment, Father, for you. Just create a moment for you. Create your moment, Lord. So whatever posture you want to take, you can get on your knees, you can move out of your seat, but as we worship, just in any order at all, you make your way up as you get the cracker and juice. This is between you and God today. And you can go off to the side, you can go back to your seat. I just want you to hold that and just say, Jesus, reveal yourself. Show me what you're teaching me about your grace. And then partake and remember him. And then we'll conclude all together at the end. Let's worship Jesus.